good all the way around, and we appreciate the good singing and the blessings from the Lord on that end of it. Take your Bible, if you will, please, to the book of Nehemiah tonight. It's in the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter number 12. In Nehemiah chapter 12, it's been a good day all the way around in the Lord, and we bless the Lord for how good He's been to us. And so in the book of Nehemiah chapter 12, verse number 40, if you're able to stand. All right, the Bible says, so stood the two companies of them that gave thanks in the house of God, and I, and the half of the rulers with me. Verse 43. Also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God had made them rejoice with great joy. The wives, also the children rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard even afar off. Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word. We do thank you for it and how good it is to be once again in the house of God. We thank you, Lord, for the songs of Zion. Thank you, Lord, for the goodness of God that led us and brought us to repentance. Bless, I pray, the word to every heart tonight. Thank you for saving souls, lifting up the downhearted, setting captives free. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach a little while tonight on when God made them rejoice. Now I'm going to tell you, whenever God makes you rejoice, you'll be rejoicing right. When you've had a divine touch in your life and God's caused you to be rejoicing and to be grateful and to be thankful and to be able to look and see how glorious that He is, I can tell you right now, you're not going to be able to hold that in. It'll be more than a whisper. What it's going to be is there are going to be people that's going to hear that, not only locally, but they heard them afar off. I want to say that when you begin to look into this, Israel had been on some bad time. Remember, they had been in captivity. Now they've gone back into the land. You know, in Solomon's temple, when it was destroyed, now they've gone back into the land. And of course, Ezra has to do with dealing with and celebrating the temple and the restored worship. Nehemiah went back and was allowed to go back in order that he might be able to celebrate the finishing of the walls and the protection that would provide. And in the lesson that we're looking at, let me tell you, there's some reasons why you and I ought to be rejoicing. Now, the reason number one is because of the foundation. You know, whenever they got that foundation laid, they looked at him and they began to weep because some of them remembered that the one that was before then in Solomon's day was much more glorious than the one that they were doing now. But let me say to you that, if you will, that in Nehemiah in chapter number 4, that in order to be able to do things right, sometimes there's a pile of trash that just needs to be removed down. Look in verse number 10, chapter 4, Nehemiah. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of the burdens is decayed. And notice, and there's too much rubbish so that we are not able to build the wall. Now, I want to tell you right now, you know what's wrong with the average Baptist? They make a profession of faith. They go straight to hell from there because they're not born again of the family of God till God snatches them as a brand from the burning, shows them themselves like He sees them, and grants them repentance and grants them fame. And let me tell you the reason why you can't get saved by just walking down the aisle and just bowing your head, repeating a prayer without God doing a work of grace in you. Here's the reason why. Too much trash in our lives, too much rubbish in the life. And you can't build on that. You can't build upon that. I got to say to you that when you begin to look into this lesson here, you'll find is that Ezra over there, whenever chapter number 6 and about verse number 21, if I remember right, and he made a statement, and it was something like, if I can find it, I'll read it to you. And over there in verse 21 of chapter 6 in the book of Ezra, and the children of Israel were come out of captivity, and all such as had separated themselves unto them from the filthiness of the heathen of the land to seek after the Lord God of Israel that did eat. I got to tell you right now, you can't run with the world, look like the world, act like the world, do what the world's doing, involve in what the world's involved in, and expect to sit down at the table of God and enjoy the presence of God. You're just not going to do it. You'll find that you can't serve, the Bible said, God and mammon. And by that, He's simply showing us that you can't drag a bunch of trash through life with you either if you're going to be able to serve God. So the foundation's the first thing that we're looking at. And by the way, there's not a foundation besides the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're talking about the Savior of the world. All right, next of all, did you notice they were in the sanctuary down at the house of God? And I want to say to you that the reason why we ought to rejoice is because down at the house of God, down at the church of the living God, that's where the family of God's been saved and added to the church daily, such as should be saved. Let me tell you, we ought to rejoice because of the family. You're sitting here tonight, and you know, we're not only just family and kin one to another, but in the household of faith. I mean, he said men, he talked about women, he talked about fathers, he talked about children, he talked about mothers. Let me tell you something. Families ought to get together and worship God together in spirit and in truth. In this lesson that we're looking at, you'll find that I'm always, and I know sometimes you're providentially hindered and this and that, but in the religious lost world, while we're looking for a reason to get in, they're looking for a reason to get out. I got to say to you that if you will, we ought to rejoice because we've got a family, a household of faith that we can come to the house of God and be able to open up the scriptures and be able to exalt the Savior and be able to shout it out in the sanctuary to where people can hear it afar off. Number three is we ought to rejoice because that you and I have got a future like we've never had before. I'll tell you something, I'm heaven bound tonight, and if you're saved, you're heaven bound. Let me tell you, that means I'm going to miss hell and make heaven, and it's been by the grace of God. It's not anything that I've done, anything that I've earned. Let me tell you right now, it's been God's grace and his unmerited favor that I'm born into the family of God and that you're born into the family of God. I'll tell you what he done is that he changed my direction. I can still hear Addison every now and again in that little song. Is that I've just started living, and then she'd always, it changed my direction. I got to tell you right now, when you get saved, he'll change your direction. He'll change your life. He'll make you different than you've ever been. He'll be a change that others can see. It'll be a change that'll be lasting for all eternity. And I got to tell you something. He not only gave me life, he'll do the same for you, that if you're sitting here tonight and you hadn't yet come to know him in the free pardon of sin. I always like it whenever God's bothering somebody, even when they leave from here. Well, they leave from here. You know, you can get out from the sound of my voice, but if the Holy Ghost of God gets on you, you can't get away from the sound of his voice. See? You know, in the day we're living in, there's a lot of times that I've been in homes and asked people about their salvation and about if they died, where would they go, or would they go to heaven, so forth and on. And sometimes, you know, a husband and a wife, and I've told you in the days gone by, I've literally had sometimes, you know, the guy said, "Well, no, sir, I've never professed to be a Christian to go to heaven." And the woman, she said, "Yes, well, I am. And he'd look in shock and look at her and say, "You're what now? You're saved and you're going to heaven? I mean, you go to the same honky-tonk that I go, drink out of the same beer box and all of that I'm doing, and doing the same things that I'm, and you're going." I take it back, preacher. If this heifer's going to heaven, I am too. Well, he's got a point, see? When you get saved, it's a changed life because you're a new creature in Christ Jesus our Lord. I begin to think about, you know, and of course, you know, parents like their children. And, you know, if you're in a conversation where there's a family and you ask, especially a pretty good-sized child, by that I'm talking about age of accountability child, you know, and you go to asking them about, "Well, what about you, young lady, or what about you, young man?" Their mother wants to jump in and try to put them into heaven for you and see all of that right there. I got to tell you something. This is a decision that you personally have to make with God. It's not going to be something that mama, daddy, grandma, grandpa can decide for. This is a personal experience that God comes knocking and that you yourself have to repent toward God that he gave you and have faith in Christ that he's given you and birth you into the family of God, in which case he'll change your life, give you everlasting life, and change you for all eternity. God has saved me, and he'll do the same for you. Not only that, but number three tonight in the lesson that we're looking at, the Bible said that they rejoiced in such a manner that others could hear them afar off. Back over there in our text, when we were reading in Nehemiah, is that you'll find out, he said, and I was there with them. I was there praising God and serving God in the house of God. And let me say to you that, if you will, there was a real rejoicing. And do you realize that, the reason being is because the message of the Lord, it doesn't matter if you live near or if you live afar. Listen, when you get born again, we live in a world that's without God, without hope, and no doubt about it, they need to hear the saints of God rejoicing every now and again. Now, you know, every now and again, we have a testimonial time. And sometimes we'll have two or three people get up. I just want to thank God for saving me, this and that. That's a good exercise for you. Sometimes you'll have just a heathen come in, sitting there and be listening. Well, anybody got a testimony? We're like India. That's just the way an Indian shouts. See, I mean, that's right. I used to preach to them, and I thought, man, I'm not making any headway whatsoever. I hope that they don't get mad. I shouldn't have said nothing about being scalped. I didn't come to scalp you. No, I didn't say that at all. You know the reason why Indians don't like white people? We stole their land. Well, I mean, they didn't want to live here with us and cohabitate. They're shooting arrows at us and all that business there, our forefathers. I mean, you come dragging into town and you got somebody like Doc Adams, and you're going to have to one of them flint rock arrowheads that they made dug out of you somewhere. Not a fun trip. Not a fun trip. I mean, I'll tell you right now, hadn't you ever watched Dances with Wolves? I mean, that poor sucker took that wagon and took him over there to that little fort. They shot him full of arrows and then got down there while he's still alive, scalped him. You know what scalp is? That's where you pull the hide up with the hair and you cut it and rip it on off. Not a fun trip. Let me tell you right now, you and I are enjoying a whole lot of things in this world that was paid with by blood. And now we can't believe that all this is going on. All right, look in your Bible, if you will, please, now in Nehemiah here in chapter number 13. Not only could they hear us near, they could hear us afar, rejoicing and praising the name of the Lord. Now, the Bible said when Israel came out of bondage, and you don't have time to turn there, but in the book of Exodus in chapter number 12 and about verse number 38, there was a mixed multitude that came out with them. Now, I know what you're thinking. He says there was a mixed multitude of flocks, of herds, and much cattle. You know, it's always been tempting that if somebody don't belong with you, well, I might get in on that much cattle deal. I don't want to be too harsh against people. I mean, Jesus loves them people too, don't he? Do you know that was the very people there that, if you read in the book of Numbers, that was the very people that got to murmuring, complaining, that their lust began to, and as they got to talking against God and about God's deliverance, then the people of Israel began to murmur. Now, I'll tell you, in this lesson we're looking at, look in Nehemiah 13, quickly, verse 3. The Bible said that it came to pass that when they had heard the law, that they separated from Israel all the mixed multitude. Now, you know what that is? That ain't just people that wasn't saved. That's people that were from another culture. That's people that were of another race. That's people that were of another worship. That's people there that had false gods. That's people there that, buddy, that had their own man-made religions of superstitions. That's exactly what that is. That's not people that were Jews that were not considered saved. Jews aren't saved now for the most part. I said all that to say this, is that you'll find out is they had to separate from them. And do you know in the day we live in, that mixed multitude involves races. It involves culture. Why do you think there's so much culture talk going on in the day we live in? Cancel culture. You know what they're doing? You know what cancel culture is? That's trying to cancel the doctrine of Christ. You know what that is? Whenever they talk about being racist and all that business there, let me tell you, you're never going to get rid of racism. You'll have to get rid of the Bible first. You're never going to get rid of it, and here's why. It's because that God divided those races himself. That doesn't mean God won't love you and God won't save you wherever you hail from. But don't go to thinking that you ought to be able to toot your horn and this and that, and that you ought to be on the same level as the Jew is, because that's the nation of Israel, that's the apple of his eye, and you'll have to take second fiddle to them.
Yes, right.
Now, that doesn't make the world and the woke movement very happy, and that's the reason why that in the day we live in, remember back whenever they was talking about in this country, they was talking about the good Muslim versus bad Muslim. You know, no, we're not talking about you good Muslim. A good Muslim hates America, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Jew just like a bad Muslim does. I don't mean that ugly. I'm just telling you that's the way that it is. And the reason why that you and I have got so much controversy and so much heresy in the day of which we live is because all that bunch of Roman Catholics don't know what to do with these other religions. I got to tell you, whenever you approach a man that's got a clown suit on minus the nose, and he's going to sprinkle holy water and give you some kind of wafer on your tongue and ring a few bells and smoke a few pots and drink a couple of quarts of liquor and this and that, I mean, you're going to leave there, and while he's giving you absolution, you'll go straight to hell. Because there's not but one that can forgive your sins, and his name's the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to say to you that, if you will, that in the lesson that we're looking at is that these people in these cultures that we were looking at, Israel got to lifting up their voice, and if there's a time, you and I ought to lift up our voice like a trumpet, and that we ought to preach the blessed word of the Lord from the mountaintop, from the housetop, from the church house to the White House to the outhouse. If there's ever a time we ought to be doing it and lifting up our voice, it's now. But you know what's happened, don't you? We've gotten to where we're not lifting up our voice like a trumpet. We've become an apologetic whisper. See? And I will tell you, I'm glad to know God found me and loved me while I was unlovable, and saved me by his wonderful and marvelous grace. Now, maybe you're here tonight and you're not yet saved. All right, that's fine. God's in the saving business. We testify by that because one's going to come forward even tonight. And we're looking forward to it. Let's stand to our feet. Our song director is going to come. And we're going to get ready to sing the invitation song. And get ready, and while we pray, and we're going to get ready to sing 124. Now, Father, bless, I pray, the word to every heart tonight. And Lord, I do thank you that you'll save people regardless of where they hail from, regardless of their race, their creed, their color, regardless, dear God, of whatever their erroneous belief has been. If they have repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they shall be saved. Now, pray your blessings upon this crowd tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, as we sing.